Good morning, everyone. In the book of Amos, we have a very important question asked. Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? The answer to that question is no, they can't. Two people can't walk together unless they agree. They have to agree on which way to go, agree on how fast or slow to walk, agree on when to stop or start. They have to be united in their decisions or they're not walking together. Here in Amos, the Lord is essentially asking the Israelites, are you with me? Are he and they walking together? Are they united in their covenant? He will be their God and they will be his people. As we see over and over in the Old Testament, they are not. And the result is the Israelites walk further and further from God. They were not even united among themselves. Judah was with God, sometimes. Israel never was. And the result was the destruction of both. In an 1858 speech about slavery, Abraham Lincoln famously said, "A house divided cannot stand." It's a good quote because it comes from the scriptures, paraphrased, of course. In Matthew 12:25, it says, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." That proved true for the Israelites. They were divided among themselves and divided from God, and their house did not stand. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? That question, which was asked so long ago in Amos, still stands today for us, the children of God. Are we united with God? Are we united among ourselves? If we aren't united as a congregation, we can't be united with God. Each of us will answer for our conduct before God. But our conduct as part of this congregation, as part of the body of Christ, will play a large part in that answer. Let's look at Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's not in numbers, but in unity that our strength lies. The greater the unity, the greater the strength. So what is unity? The Hebrew word used here in Psalms is yakad. It's described as a unit, likewise, together. Unity is very important to God. We see that based upon how often and in what manner it appears in the scriptures. Paul writes about it in his letters to the Romans, the Corinthians, and the Ephesians. The Apostle John records Jesus talking about it in prayer to God. So where does unity come from? How do we get it? How do we get together? Do we create it here in the congregation by what we do or don't do? No, and yes. Paul gives us a clue in 1 Corinthians 12. 12:13. For as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The Holy Spirit is described here as the source of unity, bringing people together regardless of their background through baptism into one body. When we are baptized into the body of Christ, we become united with Jesus, united with God, united with the Holy Spirit, and united with all other believers in Jesus, with all others in that body. Understanding that, we aren't trying to create unity in the congregation. It's already here, through the power of the Holy Spirit. What we need to do is to strive as hard as we can to preserve that unity, not act in ways that will diminish or destroy it. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Here, the Greek word is henotes, oneness or unanimity. Here, Paul urges the Ephesians, and by extension, all members of the body, to keep the unity of the Spirit, to maintain what is already there, that unity we received when baptized into the body. He also begins to answer our next question. How do you do that? What are some of the behaviors we need? Well, I could be kind of flippant and just say, just be a Christian. We can and should be more specific. As I said, Paul has already started a list for us here in Ephesians. lowliness, meaning humility, gentleness, long sufferings, patience, love, forgiveness. Paul starts with humility and reinforces it in his letter to the Philippians, Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Each member has a role to play in maintaining unity by acting with humility and putting others before themselves, being gentle and peaceable in their interaction with others, instead of harsh, rude, or abrupt, choosing conciliation over confrontation, letting the little things slide rather than being determined to prove themselves right, showing love for each other. Love is the driver behind all our actions, love for the Father, love for the Son, and love for each other. These attributes are fruits of the Spirit that we find in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul ends Galatians 5 with this: if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. By engaging in these behaviors in 5:22, we can maintain unity. We're also instructed to put aside selfishness and pride, which are works of the flesh, found in Galatians 19, along with others. Prideful attitudes and individual agendas are a major threat to congregational unity and have no place in the body of Christ. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians and to the Philippians, he writes similarly to the Colossians, Colossians 3:12-14. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Again, we have those same behaviors: humility, gentleness, long-suffering, forgiveness, love. These are the behaviors God expects from everyone in the body. Back in Ephesians, Paul emphasizes that there is fundamentally only one, and we as children of God are part of that one, sometimes called the seven ones. Ephesians 4:4-6. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. All of these ones are united in us as the children of God. Now let us hear from Jesus himself. He also spoke of us all being in unity. In John 17, we find Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. John 17:20-23. I do not pray for these alone, speaking of his apostles, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. In his final prayer before going to the cross, Jesus prayed for the unity of his followers. He asked the Father that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Jesus prayed for all believers to be united. Why? He answers that question in his prayer, so that the world would believe that the Father had sent him. Another way we can maintain unity is to focus on our shared purpose of glorifying God. We are to honor, praise, and acknowledge his greatness through our words, actions, and thoughts, recognizing him as the source of all good. We should prioritize in our lives acts of worship and praise, obedience to his commands, showing love and service to others, and spreading the gospel message that Jesus is the Savior of the world and died on the cross to save everyone who believes. The common bond that holds the church together is Christ. Unity is maintained by keeping our focus on him and fighting for the faith, not fighting against each other. However, unity does not mean complete uniformity. We are not to be mindless zombies who are all the same. There are each individual personalities with individual experiences and talents. The church is a body, and like the human body, it has different parts that perform different functions. It is meant to be unified, but diverse, with with different members having different gifts, but all working together for a common purpose. The body has many parts, but it is one functional whole. Similarly, the church has many members with diverse gifts, but all are united in the Spirit for the common purpose of glorifying God and spreading the gospel. Every member is important, and we all should have equal love and concern for one another. Paul explains this to us in a couple of places. Back in 1 Corinthians 12:24, 12:12, we already read, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." You go to Romans 12, 4 and 5. "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Virtually the same thing he said back in Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12. "But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." Paul makes a couple of very important statements here. To paraphrase, all members should suffer together, and all members should be honored together. And most importantly, that there be no schism in the body. No divisions, no contentions, no conflicts, no cliques, no gossiping, only unity in the Spirit. But there are challenges to that unity. We've already talked about a few: prideful attitudes and personal agendas, needing to be right instead of being righteous, distinguishing between disagreements on salvational items and non-critical things. Early Christians were divided over issues like diet and holy days, as seen in Romans 14. Paul essentially says that this was not something that they needed to be in conflict over. Let God sort it out. There are things of which we all must be united, such as the Lordship of Jesus and the necessity of repentance, confession, and baptism. Other things are not worth dividing the body of Christ over. We need to exercise liberty and charity in these instances. We have to avoid being judgmental. There is only one judge of us all. Paul addresses this in Romans 14 as well. Romans 14:4. "Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he would be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." Then down in verse 12 and 13, "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way." We must resolve not to make a stumbling block out of non-salvation minor issues. Let God handle it. Also, there are clearly divisions within what is called the mainstream Christian community. We have Catholics versus Protestants. We've got Roman Catholics versus Eastern Orthodox Catholics. We've got denominationalism within Protestant, many, many denominations. Even in the churches of Christ, we have divisions. Old mutual edification, some have ministers, some have instrumental music, some use one cup, and various combinations of any and all of these. But what is the foundation of all Christian unity? Christ, of course. He is the head of the church, and all who follow him are part of his one body. Following human leaders, governing bodies, or church councils divide the church because we are no longer following Christ. We are no longer following the head of the church. Prioritizing Christ and Christ alone unifies the body and keeps us focused on whose name we wear. As Christ is the head of the church, the Holy Spirit is the unifier of the church. As I already mentioned, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, believers are brought into one body regardless of their background. So what do we do with all of this confusion and chaos in the Christian community? We control what we can. Unity here in this congregation. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "We must learn to live together as brothers and sisters or perish together as fools." Paul described how a body that is joined and knit together correctly grows as each member performs his functions. This mutual edification is essential for a healthy and effective church. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Somebody else whose name I can't pronounce and won't try said, "So powerful is the light of unity that it can illuminate the whole earth. A united church is a powerful witness to a divided world. If we remain united, we can be the means by which that light illuminates the earth." Jesus said in John 8, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light." Light of life, excuse me. So let's go back to Psalm 133. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edges of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore." So I end with the question Amos asked in the beginning. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? No, they can't. So let's be agreed. Let's live and worship in unity. Let's just be Christians. I'll offer the gospel invitation now. If you want to join the body of Christ and be that light to the world, or if we can assist in any way, please make it known as we stand and sing.